This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast. Chris Graham and Rod Mullins talking NASCAR on the heels of a very exciting and apparently very well-watched Daytona 500 on Sunday. The start and restarts and everything else pushed it into prime time for a good bit on Sunday night, Rod. And so good ratings for the Daytona 500 and also big win for Denny Hamlin emerging from that crowded pack at the top of the race card. And, boy, a lot of excitement. All we had the big one, 21 cars involved in one crash. We had a little bit of everything on Sunday in Daytona.
Yeah, we did. And, I mean, you mentioned the winner of the race, Denny Hamlin, and it was a very emotional, big race for Denny Hamlin because, you know, J.D. Gibbs, who's the son of Joe Gibbs, former Washington Redskins coach, J.D. Gibbs gave Denny Hamlin his big break. He's the one that believed in Denny Hamlin. And so on that car, you know, you couldn't ask for almost a better movie script, almost the way it was written, that J.D. Gibbs' name was on that car. And then, of course, number 11 was J.D. Gibbs' favorite number as well. I mean, he put Denny Hamlin in that car, and when he did, you know, Denny Hamlin has paid dividends. He's also caused some controversy over the years, too. If people go back and think about Martin Bill and the bump and the wreck of Chase Elliott. But he had to be cheering for Denny Hamlin this time around for this race because it was something that I believe was almost in a way predestined that this was going to happen because Denny Hamlin wanted to race well for J.D. Gibbs and also for his memory. I think it really paid off for Denny Hamlin on Sunday. But for the rest of them, I mean, wow, it was one of those races where you thought William Byron was going to come away with it. He's running strong there at one point. You know, there was still the controversy this past week of Jimmy Johnson running over people, tapping people, hitting them, and so forth, just to get back towards the front. Jimmy Johnson didn't end up where he wanted to be as a return trip to the winner's circle at Daytona. But William Byron was denied his chance at getting into the winner's circle. But for Joe Gibbs Racing, this was a big boost. They finished 1, 2, and 3 with Kyle Busch in second. And then, of course, the third car there, Jones, coming in there at third. So it was a big win for Joe Gibbs Racing, big win for Denny Hamlin. But I'm telling you, you know, you could have asked for a more exciting race, I think, this time around because the restrictor plate, or so to speak, if you want to call it the restrictor plate racing, it was changed. Last year, it was single file driving down the 2.5 miles there of Daytona. Now it was bunched up. Cars were bunched up, and they were struggling in body. Now, I think I made that kind of comment last week. I think we were going to see bunched up racing, and whoever was able to get the cleaner air and get out in front would probably ultimately win this race. That's what really, really happened with Denny Hamlin after surviving all the carnage that happened.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. You know, with the rules changes from the over the winter, we saw a lot. Gosh, the quality of racing on Sunday, it was reminiscent to me of the, you know, the playoff stretch last year. We had a lot of good hard racing at the end of some of those races, and you know, it was good to see the drivers out there really pushing themselves. You talked about the, you know, we didn't have the single foul race, and we had three wide. We had guys trying to sort of split the gap between, you know, bottom and top part of the track. You know, everybody was going for broke, and that was very exciting to see on Sunday.
Well, to me, and that's the way racing ought to be. It should be one of these things where you don't lay back and you don't try to, you know, pad everything and then go for the gusto on the third stage and make it for everything it's worth. I think everybody was racing for broke, like you said, and they were going for that win. They wanted to dominate. They wanted to be able to hold in there and dominate through the first 2 or 3 stages and win the whole thing. That's what they were looking for. But, you know, as with every Daytona race, as with the start of every season, there's always some controversy that comes out of it. And I think probably one of the big things that came out of it is Joey Logano's comment following the race of saying, especially Michael McDowell, who drives a Ford, he said, Michael McDowell did not try to help me whatsoever in this race. And it was right there toward the end of the race. And it's one of those things, and we've talked about it before, where it's every man for himself. They're trying to get there to the finish line and win that race. But Joey Logano was looking for Michael McDowell to come up behind him and give him that little bit of an extra push And if I'm in that position, I don't care what Joey Logano is trying to do. I care about what I'm doing in my car and what it's going to take for me to be able to get to the front and to be able to win that race. And so you had controversy there. Another thing that's been talked about too since all this stuff happened has been the kind of unofficial discussion between Toyota and Chevrolet. They hooked up quite a bit on Sunday afternoon of the race, working together with one another in order for one of those cars to get to the front. And, of course, we know Denny Hamlin driving the Toyota. He made it to the front. But Chevrolet fared pretty well as also during the race, except, of course, when the big wreck happened.
So what impact do you think the fact that this race, it was the highest-rated sports TV program of the weekend, and this is a weekend when you had, well, you had the All-Star game, the NBA All-Star game on Sunday night, you had the NBA skills competition on Saturday night, including the dunk contest, you had some really good college basketball, Tennessee, Kentucky among that, and this was actually by a good bit the highest-rated sports TV of the weekend. We talked all winter, Rod, about, you know, the NASCAR feeling maybe it's at a crossroads. You know, the attendance numbers were down. We saw some good numbers there, too. Daytona sold out the grandstands this weekend. You know, we talked about the TV ratings having been down for a while. So this could be some positive momentum for NASCAR here in 2019.
I think it is positive. You know, it's a positive outcome. It's a positive win, at least for NASCAR in that regard. But I believe that what they did was, especially toward the end of the season and the playoff picture, although the ratings may not have demonstrated that, but I think that it whets some people's appetites as to see what is NASCAR going to pull out for us here in 2019. And the big question was there's going to be a lot of unknowns. And I think there were a lot of people looking to see what was going to happen with the new rules package, how things were going to go this time around. They were interested in seeing, of course, Daytona, and also it's the big Great American Race, as it's always been called. But I think they were wanting to find out how this restrictor plate, or at least the reduction on the restrictor plate, was going to go and bunch up the cars, and it was going to see where everybody is going to stand. You know, who benefited out of this? I think more than anything, it wasn't the multi-car teams of the drivers that benefited out of it. I think ball teams that really benefited from this race, because you got some exposure for some drivers. Matt DiBenedetto, he got some exposure out of this. You had Michael McDowell also, who's been racing on the circuit for at least 10 years. They had a good performance on Sunday afternoon. You know, you kind of let you cheer in for the little guy, so to speak, out of this whole thing. Joe Gibson, of course, winning the race, that was another positive out of it. And the fact that the story tied in with J.D. Gibbs. So there were a lot of positives being tied into this race, and I think it's just a great prediction to me, I think, of what's to come this season, unless something, the bottom falls out on it. You know, I don't know. I think it's going to be a good season this year.
So we're talking about some of the winners and losers. I was looking at an NBC Sports column. I like this comment from Kyle Busch. You know, talk about in those last 25 laps, which all of us thought was exciting with the hard racing. Yeah, there were crashes, a 21-car crash, 7-car crash, 9-car crash. Kyle Busch's comment on what caused the damage, brains came unglued. Was it that, you know, were there bad decisions made there, or was that just hard racing, combination of both maybe?
I think it's a combination of both. And Kyle's just unhappy because he's got his front back. And, you know, there's that little bit of, I guess, added flavor to this whole thing of you have now in the four cars in the Joe Gibbs Racing garage, you have Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, Eric Jones, and now Mark Truex Jr. For Kyle Busch, he wanted a great performance out of this, and he tends to think some people go brain dead in situations like this, and that might be true. But, you know, these guys have been practicing. They've been testing. They had a chance to practice at least a good week or so, or have an idea about what the cars are going to be doing. We got a good sample of that in that Advanced Auto Parts clash, and then the duels that they had on Thursday night. These guys know what these cars can do, and sometimes, yeah, the brain might go dead, but it's also a combination of close quarters too while they're racing.
Now, I talked about the TV ratings being good. You hear some people, though, raising concern that the race was too long. It was 3 hours 45 minutes without the red flag time. I think that actually factored into the ratings. You know, you had, I want to say it was 11 laps to go, and we had the race basically stop there for a while to clear debris from the big wreck. And, you know, you had all the commentary. You know, I think as the sun went down on the East Coast, maybe people were gravitating towards, you know, kind of slowing down on a Sunday night and turning the TV on and seeing what was on, and they see this, this spectacle of the Daytona 500. I think there could have been some positives there, but you're definitely hearing from people who say, boy, when you add in all that time, it was almost 8 o'clock when the TV show finally went off. It went straight into The Simpsons at 8 o'clock on Fox. And so maybe that's too long. What are your thoughts on that, Rod? How do you think this will play out?
Well, to me, some people may say it's too long, but I think this is another one of those arguments that lends some credence to the thing that we discussed last season. Why doesn't NASCAR start thinking about putting some of these races more in prime time, or at least leading up into prime time? Because I think it definitely attracted an audience, and maybe there were some people that weren't wanting to, you know, just wind down and maybe watch something on television that night. They had their choices, of course, with the onset of Amazon and Roku and all these other things. They could have chose, you know, thousands of other things that were out there that they could have possibly watched on television that night, but people chose to watch the Daytona 500. And I think it was an excellent lead-in for them going into prime time that night. So, I don't know. NASCAR may play around with this idea of maybe, let's see what happens if we move the starting time back another hour or something, or move it ahead a little bit more to see how things are going to go. It might have ended up being that way. You mentioned it. You hit the nail on the head when you said that the red flag situation that stopped the race, that took up a lot of time, too. But, you know, to me, this is nothing surprising out of one of these NASCAR races. I know it's a 200-lap shootout, especially at Daytona. It should be done in maybe about 3 hours, but things happen along the way, and that's probably what lended a little bit more interest in it, finding out you had a 21-car pileup or 20-some-plus car pileup there. The big one happened, and people tune in sometimes for that big one just to see what was going on. You know, with so many laps left to go in the race, it made a big difference, I think. So time-wise, I don't think it was as much a big factor, you know, factoring in the red flag situation, but still, it was all out a great performance, at least for the Daytona 500 coming out of the gate, at least straight.
Yeah, I thought it was a good show. I think we worry too much sometimes. Well, not we, because we don't, but the critics worry too much sometimes about length of TV, whatever. You know, baseball games are too long, whatever. If you're enjoying it, it's not too long. If you're not enjoying it, 30 minutes will be too much. So, yeah, I think people just have something to complain about, and that's something for people to complain about, unfortunately.
I mean, it comes down to this thing, too, of do you want to watch the entire race, or do you want a Heidi moment, is what happened back in the 60s with an NFL football game, and did it change the entire complexity of the game? That's what people are really asking about. And I wouldn't want the race to be cut off just to go straight to whatever the 7 o'clock programming was on Fox. I would have rather watched the end of this race to see what was really going to happen.
I've been saying for years, I think NASCAR, like you were just talking about, Rod, More prime time, the better. Put it in time when people are, especially, you know, this time of year, it's cold for a lot of people. So, you know, yeah, you're probably going to be in the house more in as the winter winds down. But when spring and summer come along, you know, it's hard to sit down on a Saturday or Sunday, most of the time on a Sunday. It's hard to sit down inside when you want to be outside doing stuff, you know. But when the day winds down, especially on a Sunday, when you're winding down to get ready for work on Monday, you know, boy, turn on the NASCAR and have a good time. I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense, but, you know, they just haven't pulled the trigger on that for the most part.
Yeah, NBC could take a page out of their success on Sunday Night Football, yeah, and maybe translate this out in their next contract negotiating here at the NASCAR, see what they could do, transform it into some kind of Sunday night or Saturday night feature, for that matter, where it kind of improves and changes things for Saturday night, because you don't want it to correspond at the same time when the NFL is going.
Well, there's that, and also, yeah, if you stay up later on a Saturday night, and, you know, there are plenty of fans, I'm among them, who who like to sit in front of the TV with a brew or a cider or whatever. It's a little better to do that on a Sunday night or Saturday night, excuse me, when you don't have to work the next day. So, you know, but it all goes hand in hand. You enjoy that, you know, have a night where you can enjoy it. You know, yeah, and then the football thing in the fall, I think there'd be a lot of sense there. As NASCAR is renegotiating TV contract, I think it's a great point. That's something to maybe think about as we get closer to that TV renegotiation. Well, let's finish up here talking. Let you get us ready now. We've Daytona Speed Week. The rest are out of our system now. We've let it go anyway. Atlanta is coming up, and so get us ready, Rod, for Atlanta and what we can look forward to the second race of 2019.
Well, I think I mentioned last week that Daytona was going to be a mystery. We weren't really going to know what was going to happen until, you know, the green flag actually dropped for the race and everything, and then the checkered flag was actually displayed and we knew who was going to win the race. I think we're going to see the same thing in Atlanta. We're not going to know really what's going on because the rules package, it's going to be a little bit more of an intense rule package change now for the 1.5 mile track, like Atlanta, Charlotte, some of the others. But for Atlanta has been really rough on tires for some of these cars for a number of years. It's going to still be it's not going to be a very hot day or anything down in Atlanta. And the weather, of course, is always iffy when they go to Atlanta at times. They've had snow before. They've had very cold temperatures. But the track is really rough on tires. And so that's going to be one test that's going to be put in front of these drivers. How well are these tires going to last through the race in order to get them to victory lane? The second thing is going to be the question, will this package affect them? And I think, yes, this new package is going to bunch up the racing even more when they get to Atlanta. Now, I know we're talking about a mile and a half, I call it a short track almost, considering it's super speedway. But you're talking about this 1.5 mile oval that's out there, or tri-oval, if you want to call it that, and let it cut down through there. These tracks, especially Charlotte and then your Atlanta, they are always rough on tires. They are always rough on setup. But whoever perseveres and makes it through to the very end is able to stay on top of that that chassis change and the adjustment as they go on through the race. That's where the difference is going to be made. Kevin Harvick has pretty much dominated this track in the past. I mean, he won the first race coming out of Atlanta, even though he was in Chevrolet and driving for Richard Childress. He won the first race for Richard Childress Racing in the Goodrich car back years ago, 18 years ago, after Dale Earnhardt died, unfortunately, at Daytona. He won last year. I mean, he came out of the gate. He was perfect when he got to Atlanta, and he did really well. So Kevin Harvick, he's got to give a little bit of a nod there, but you know, I think it's racing is going to be on top of things, too. And we might see Kyle Busch actually come out on this one. I don't know. And then Mark Truex, well, some good luck. He didn't finish the race on Sunday at Daytona. He's going to be looking to try to get that car, that Bass Pro Shops car, back up in the front and at least making a run toward the front where they can win. So you got the gifts cars that's going to be a factor in that. Hendrick has always had some good cars at Atlanta. It remains to be seen if they can keep that momentum going. We'll just have to wait and see. I know that it's going to be a lot of question marks, but I think the question mark will finally be turned to an exclamation point, I think, by the time that checkered flag falls at Atlanta on Sunday.
Well, we have a lot to look forward to. Second race of the season coming on Sunday. And, of course, Rod and I will get back together next week. We'll make sense of it and get you ready for the rest of the 2019 season. Well, Rod, thanks for your time today.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thank you.